This is episode 311 of the Prepper Website Podcast, where I connect you with resources that will help you live a more self-reliant life so you can love your people, get prepared, and live free. Today's articles are 8 things you should do to convince loved ones to prepare, and 13 things not to do when disaster strikes. Hey, I'm Todd Sepulveda, the editor of PrepperWebsite.com. This podcast is an audible version with some commentary of articles that have been posted on Prepper Website, a daily curation of preparedness information. These articles are some of the best that have been recently posted on PrepperWebsite.com. All article links and show information can be found on the PrepperWebsitePodcast.com. Hey guys, before we get started, just want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my new ebook, The Preparedness Community's Guide to a Microbiz and Increasing Your Finances. Guys, this is the key to helping build your preparedness, is having multiple streams of income. Not only will it help to mitigate any financial situations that you might have with maybe a job loss or big expenses that come by, but it will also help you to have that extra money to pay down debt, to build up your food storage, to buy the things that you need for preparedness. So if you haven't taken a look at it, come on over to the Prepper Website Podcast and click on the link and come check out the ebook. Remember, you also get access to the Prepper Website forums when you do that. That is a one-time purchase, and you never have to pay a membership or a yearly fee or anything like that. You purchase the ebook, and you have access to the Prepper Website forums. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with our first article. It comes to us from theprepping.guide.com, and the article is entitled, 8 Things You Should Do to Convince Loved Ones to Prepare. Guys, as I was reading this one and getting ready, man, I was just thinking, this is some really great advice. So if someone wanted to be purposeful about convincing their spouse or their family about preparedness, really, this is the way to go. And so hopefully you'll pay attention if you're one of those who maybe your spouse isn't completely on board, or you're kind of, you know, being a closet prepper where no one knows really what you're doing. You know, this might be the way to go. And so I really love the advice in this article. So let's go ahead and get going. Your family is your survival team, but first you need to convince them. Out of all the challenges we preppers face, none may be quite so close to home as trying to convince loved ones to prepare. When it comes to the preparedness lifestyle, even a longtime supportive and loving spouse may suddenly be against prepping and against your prepper mindset. For almost every man and woman who has had a life-changing event that turned them into preppers, there is a story of the spouse or other family members that didn't understand or refused to accept this new way of life. I found myself in this situation once, and today I want to tell you how, with a bit of patience and persistence, over time I fixed it. This post is divided into 2 parts. First, I will answer that burning question so many of you have raised in forums, conversations, and emails asking, how do I convince loved ones to prepare? Then next, we will cover the next important issue. Once you have actually convinced a family member or loved one to hear you out, how you can answer objections that family members may raise. So let's get started. How do I convince my loved ones about prepping? The moment has arrived. You have been convinced that you must prepare for hard times. This means storing food, learning different survival skills, and researching methods on how you can prepare for what might occur in your area. It means changing how you behave financially. It means doing whatever it takes to separate yourself from the herd that will raid food market aisles and eventually come knocking on your door for help. You're ready, but there's a problem. You need a team that you can work with. Surely your family would be good enough, right? They're the most important people to you, and you want to keep them alive. So all you have to do is tell your family you are prepping. And not only must you tell your family about yours and what could be their new lifestyle, you must convince your loved ones to prepare and that it is the way to live. Here's how I did it. Number 1, prepare a presentation. If you get up there and start making things up on the spot, you are going to look unorganized and not a credible source on prepping. You want your family to know you are serious about prepping and that you are the person to look to when the poop hits the fan. If you don't look organized, you are doing your family and your beliefs a disservice. Make no mistake, You are preaching a life-giving sermon. If you are wrong, there are few, if any, downsides. But if you are correct, you will be a savior to many lives. To convince loved ones to prepare, make a detailed and well-informed presentation. I don't recommend it, but take notes if you need to. Have facts and figures. Know what you believe is the biggest threat and tell them why you believe so. Your feelings are rarely enough to convince people that they must change their way of living, so be ready with facts. Plan what you're going to say and stick to the plan, come what may. Number 2, speak to their fears. Not everyone is scared of the same things you are. My wife is terrified of a home invader, even though I am not. That's because I've got 4 members of the family, we've all got guns, and we can all use them. I pity the fool coming in my home uninvited. So in my presentation, I spoke to her fears and how we could prepare for a home invader, as well as take up more elements of a preparedness lifestyle. I told her that if life got bad enough, lone wolves and mobs would probably come looting, robbing, raping, and killing in local neighborhoods. This is not manipulative. It's the truth. I simply revealed to her a possible consequence of not being prepared. You owe it to your loved ones to share with them the full impact of what may come to pass if things get bad enough. If they're afraid of being alone, speak to that. If they're afraid of financial hardship, speak to that. Show them in a way they understand what may happen if no preparation takes place. Speak to their fears. Number 3, watch your tone. Of all these tips, this one is both the most important and the most difficult to get right. Remember that you are helping the people you are discussing this issue with. You are not forcing it. You are not forcing them. You are offering to help them. If you approach it in any other way, you will receive hostile feedback. This is simply because people don't like to be commanded. Not even your spouse, not even your kids, and not even your friends. If this conversation about prepping is taking place, remember, you are asking them to prepare for a disaster with you. You are willing to do it alone because you think it is right, but you want to do it by their side and with their support. Be gentle, be loving, be kind. Let your tone reflect these things. So how to deal with objections about prepping? So you gave the presentation like a master orator and you were met with silence, blank stares, grimaces. They looked at their feet a lot. And then one lone voice raised an objection, soon echoed by another. Before you know what to do, those you love have revolted against your measly presentation and your desired preparation with quick comebacks. You're probably going to hear these a lot from friends, at work, people online, and anyone else that doesn't see any value in prepping. You have probably heard some of these before, such as, there's no such thing as a doomsday, or what happens if nothing ever happens. Your loved ones do not like the idea of you prepping and will most likely start being critical of the presentation you have spent time on. Here's what to do. Number 1, listen. You have done your presentation and what you have planned, so now it is time to stop talking and let your family have their say. So shut up. Sit down and let them speak. They will never trust you with their lives if they cannot trust you in a conversation. Take a moment and read that last sentence again. Your loved ones probably love you back, and that means that they trust you to listen to their words, so do it. The listening phase has 2 goals. Gather information and use their information as fuel for the next phase. When they discuss why you shouldn't prep, listen to them. Hear them out. They will probably have valid reasons. Maybe they think your fear is unfounded. Maybe they will say that they don't want to change what is working financially. Maybe they just think you're crazy. But hear them out, learn their objections, and then number 2 is speak to their fear again. If they bring up objections, then you didn't speak to their fears enough the first time. Do it again after listening. They will probably bring up points that you didn't expect or weren't prepared for. That is okay. If you have to, tell them that you don't know how to respond to their objections. Look up some facts and get back to them. There is no shame in not having all of the information on command. Do remember 2 things. First, you are not speaking to your fear. You are speaking to theirs. Second, use facts and figures. Your emotion is probably not enough to win the day. Hear their objections. Speak to their objections. And number three, be ready for feedback. When dealing with their objections, be ready for some stinging remarks. Someone, whether they mean to or not, will undoubtedly say something that hurts your feelings and feels like they are attacking your character. It's just the name of the game. Be ready for your loved ones to say hurtful things. Be ready to be hurt by their lack of support. It isn't that they don't love you or don't support you. It is that they think this is a fad at best and ridiculous at worst. Be prepared for them to say things that you might not like. You owe it to them, to yourself, and to your beliefs to not give up. Number four, be gentle. Remember that you aren't commanding them. You are asking their permission to prep with them. Show your love for them by listening to them, by not interrupting, and by taking on an air of humility. You don't know everything, you don't have all the answers, and you can't make all the problems go away. They will appreciate you in the long run if you don't act like you can do any of those things. Number five is be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. If you walk away from the conversation and they still aren't on the same wavelength, that's okay. You did your best. Nothing more can be expected of you. Be patient. At this point, it's best to begin to show instead of tell. Here's an example I found true one time. My family wasn't unsupportive, but they definitely weren't really feeling the preparedness thing. They were kindly skeptical about it. One time on a road trip, we had been on the road for hours, and I insisted that we were not stopping until we got to our destination. Pee in bottles, starve, I don't care. We're making it. After a few hours, my family was pretty hungry, but we were so close, we're kinda, and I didn't want to stop. Then my oldest boy remembered something. Hey Dad, don't you keep food around here somewhere? I told him where to find my bug out bag and I keep in my car. It's stashed with emergency foods such as granola, some canned foods, and other items that are useful in bugging out. You know the kind. After my two boys, wife, and I had all gotten something, my wife put her hand on my leg, turned towards me and said, "Well, I guess being prepared does come in handy." No one ever gave me another moment of grief about prepping. If you have experienced any difficulty talking to your family members, loved ones, or friends about prepping, let us know in the comments section below how you went about dealing with it. This is a problem many preppers face and often turns what should be a fun activity into a lonely hobby. All right, guys, like I said, I think you will agree with me. It's a great post. Really lays it out there, gives you a strategy for sharing your preparedness ideas with your family. And remember, I love what he was saying here. You're not sharing your fears. You are talking to their fears, right? And so everyone has some sort of fear. And you can speak to that, and not in a manipulative way, but in a way because that's a starting point. Everybody has a starting point. And once you start going down that route and you start realizing how, you know, you start prepping, you start looking into those types of things, you start realizing how fragile we truly are. And, you know, a lot of the times when you get the spouse on board, when you, a woman on board, if the husband is prepping and the spouse comes on board, a lot of the time she kicks it into overdrive. When she really gets the revelation of how important prepping is, man, she can kick it into overdrive and really take it to another level. So, you know, maybe you need to be prepared for that too, because that can happen definitely. But, you know, it is a very positive thing when your family is on board. And maybe they're not like completely on board and like, hey, let's go out, run out to the woods, let's do a camping trip, let's do all this kind of stuff. But they are completely on board as, hey, we know, we understand prepping is important, and, you know, we'll do whatever you need us to do, but, you know, there's a limitation, right? We're still teenagers. We're still, you know, we still have a life. We're not going to be going out to the woods every weekend, right? And you know, there you go. But it's a very powerful when your family is behind you and they see the need to prep. And so I feel very blessed in that regard. So guys, this article is over, like I said, over at theprepping guide.com. Again, I think this is a great strategy. You might want to go over to the Prepping Guide and take some notes, maybe print this one out, and definitely use this one. If you are preparing to talk to your family members or to anyone about this, you can lay it down and you get your presentation down and you have a good idea of what you're going to say, and then you kind of go from there. And when you have a plan, just like we talk about our preparedness plans, when you have a plan to talk about preparedness, I think things go a little bit more smoothly, and then you're going in with the mindset, you know what, they're probably going to have objections, and so you are already thinking about that ahead of the game. So like always, I'm going to link to this article in the show notes, and so you can go take a closer look at this one. I really do think this one deserves a close look. If you are a lone wolf prepper right now and you don't want to be, you want your family to be on board, definitely go take a look at this one. All right, our next article comes to us from UrbanSurvivalSite.com, and this article, it's a short one, but it's entitled 13 Things Not to Do When Disaster Strikes. So, lays it out here for you. Like I said, it's a shorter article, but I think I'm going to have some comments and commentary on some of these things. I don't believe everyone is going to agree with every single one of these. There's going to be some that, I mean, I know that I don't agree with 100%. You can't always say never. I think you always need to be, aware of what's going on. But I think these are some things that you need to consider, right? And so you should be thinking about these things. Like always, all the stuff that we talk about, you should be thinking about these things. So again, 13 things not to do when disaster strikes. Plenty of attention is given to the things you should do when disaster strikes. However, knowing what not to do can be just as important for your survival. In this list, you'll find 13 things that you should avoid doing at all costs when disaster strikes. Number one is panic. Few things are more likely to cost you your life when the chips are down than panicking. While fear serves an evolutionary purpose in that it makes you aware of the danger, panic is fear's ugly cousin, dulling your senses and your survival instincts. If disaster strikes, take a deep breath, stick to your plan, and do your best to stay calm. Again, guys, that's why the plan is so important. Knowing what you're going to do, having scenarios thought out, having your plan in place, very important. Because when you have a default, you are going to default to whatever is there, right? And so if you don't have a plan, you're going to default to panic. You're going to default to, worrying, or default to, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? If you have a plan, there might be that initial freak out, but then it's like, okay, wait a minute. Let me calm down. What am I going to do? Oh, let me default to my plan. So that's one reason why we always stress the plan. Number two is stare at the TV. With every news station in the country broadcasting updates about the disaster 24/7, it's easy to fall into a state of shell shock where you sit and stare at the TV, hanging on the news anchor's every word. However, time spent staring at the TV is time not being spent preparing for your survival. Once you have a solid grasp of what has taken place, shut off the TV and get to work. And so definitely I have been there before where things are kind of crazy. And so just kind of staring and trying to get as much information. But if it was really the big one, definitely you want to get a good understanding of what's going on and then you're moving. So good advice there. Number three, don't decline government aid. So many preppers have a lone wolf attitude, convinced that they can survive whatever the world throws at them all on their own. When you combine this attitude with a general distrust of the government, it leads some people to actually turn down government aid, such as food and water after disaster. However, smart survivalists know that you should take advantage of every resource you have available, government aid included. Number four, bug out into the woods. Bugging out is something that takes planning and preparation. You need to have a bug out bag prepared as well as a specific destination in mind. If all you are doing is running haphazardly into the woods with little to no supplies in tow, you can't expect your odds of surviving to be very high. Number five, act like Rambo resurrected. The aftermath of a disaster is no time to strap on your combat gear and start parading around the street with a gun in hand like a modern-day Rambo. Doing this will only draw unwanted attention from other civilians as well as any cops or military personnel that might be in the area. While it's good to have firepower and combat gear in case situations take a turn for the worse, keep these things on the down low, and do your best to blend in and not stand out. We kind of talked about that recently this week, where even if there was a big disaster and there is some kind of rule without law, is it going to be the big one where the rule of law is never coming back? Because if you start taking matters into your own hands and the rule of law comes back into play, well, then you're probably going to be held accountable for the actions that you took. And so definitely go check out some of the podcasts that we did earlier this week on that exact idea there. All right, number six is don't blame yourself. The blame game is a game with no winners, especially when you blame yourself. When a disaster strikes, you'll probably think of all sorts of things you should have done to make yourself more prepared. Even experienced preppers will probably be kicking themselves over a few things, but doing this is a waste of time. It will only slow you down when you should be focused on your survival plan. Number seven, don't blame everybody else. Maybe you won't blame yourself for anything. Maybe instead you'll blame the president or Congress or the deep state or another country. And maybe they deserve the blame, but there will be plenty of time to think about that later. Getting angry and blaming the people responsible is a waste of time and energy you should be using towards putting your survival plan into action. Number eight, resort to lawlessness. Don't resort to lawlessness. Major disasters have a way of turning law-abiding citizens into shameless criminals in little time at all. However, when it comes to resorting to thievery and other acts of lawlessness after a disaster strikes, the risks far outweigh the rewards, not even taking into account the moral implications of this behavior. Attempting to steal supplies following a disaster is likely to get you shot. It's far better to have your own supplies than to find yourself on the wrong end of a gun while trying to steal someone else's. Amen to that. Number nine, don't run to the store. The moment disaster strikes, food, water, and other supplies suddenly become invaluable. With this being the case, it may be tempting to run to the store in order to stock up on cheap supplies as soon as you learn about the disaster. However, the time to stock up on supplies is before a disaster strikes, not after. The problem with booking it to the nearest store in the heat of a disaster is that everyone else is going to have the same idea. Not only will you be unlikely to secure any supplies before they're gone, you'll also be entering a dangerous area full of desperate people willing to do whatever it takes to ensure they're the ones who walk out with the last bottle of water. All right, so on this one, people might not agree with it completely. I know that we've talked about it before in the past, and it really depends on the scenario, and it really depends on where you're at. So if it's something that is in like the national news and you've gotten wind of it and you know that this is going to start snowballing, definitely there's time to get to the store. And especially if you can get to the store, like leaving work and right away. And again, going back up to what it said at the top, not staring at the TV, right? Not staring at the TV, not staring at, social media, Twitter, whatever, is, getting in your vehicle and moving. Now, definitely, if you're headed to the store and all pandemonium has broken out, right? And, the parking lot is full and you see people are yelling and arguing and stuff. Yeah, you don't want to go there. Definitely, you don't want to go there. And I do agree with the author here. You want to prepare ahead of time. Now is the time to prepare. Preparedness is never going to be cheaper than right now for whatever you are looking to in the future. Preparedness is never going to be cheaper than right now. Food is not going to go down. Supplies are not going to go down. Water filters price are not going to go down. Maybe there's a sell every once in a while, but you know what I mean? You're not going to, it's like, oh, hey, the economy, everything has been so expensive. All of a sudden here, everything is dropping by 50%, next year or whatever. That's not going to happen. The prices always go up. So it's never going to be cheaper than it is right now. So definitely preparing right now, putting money towards that, having your multiple streams of income where you can prepare is very important right now. But if you are really ahead of the game and you need to top off some things and there are some, hey, I really need this or I really would like to have this, you could possibly make that run to the store and, you know, ahead of the game. That, again, guys, I'm not saying that is 100%. You need to really feel it all out. I know that there's going to be people, because, you know, there's been articles, people will say, I would never go to the store. That's why you prepare now. Other people would say, yeah, I'm going to the store to top off. Other people is like, I want to feel it out. And, you know, that's kind of my idea on a lot of things, is you just kind of, you have to feel it out. You've got to be aware of what's going on. So this run to the store thing, definitely, you know, you've got to, you know, think about it. How, you know, what would you do if you were put in that place? All right, number 10, don't ignore your basic needs. Basic needs such as food, sleep, and hygiene don't go out the window when disaster hits. Following a disaster, make sure you continue to take care of yourself and provide your body with the things it needs in order to be in optimum condition. As much as possible, try to eat balanced meals, take your meds, get plenty of sleep, keep yourself clean, and so forth. This will keep you strong both physically and psychologically. Number 11, don't take care of everyone who shows up on your doorstep. Again, this is going to be another one that a lot of people have a hard time with, you know, especially those of you that are coming from maybe a Christian perspective. This is going to be very hard. But let's read this one here. One of the hardest things about being prepared when others are not is having to turn away people who are looking for help. As gut-wrenching as this might be, though, there comes a point where it is a necessity. It goes without saying that your number one goal is to keep yourself and your family alive, and you can't do that if you give supplies to every stranger that shows up on your doorstep. By the way, if you turn people away, you'll need some great home security measures to make sure they can't get in. So again, you know, when people tell you, you know, I have people joke with me all the time on that. Todd, if there's ever a disaster, we're just coming over to your house. And my thing is there's times where I say, well, you know, you better come with all the supplies that you possibly can, because, you know, I've got a certain limit of supplies. Other times I say, sure, you can come over. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be up in our country, up at the country, right? And no, you can't come up there with me. And, you know, just, you know, playing around with them on that. But, you know, just letting them know, like, hey, you know what, you need to be responsible. And sometimes I do say that, you know, when there's a big group and we're kind of all chatting and talking and stuff. I have said that before. I say, you know what, you have to be responsible for you and your family. So you need to prepare. And that, you know, that kind of puts a damper on everyone. But at the same time, everyone knows that's the truth. You need to be responsible for your family. But when people come knocking on the door, you've got to decide what you're going to do. There are some people just like, I know that I'm not going to be able to turn them away. I know what, you know, preppers write. I know the articles. I've heard all the arguments about this and that, but I'm just not going to be able to turn a family member away. And so you have people like that, and you have other people who's like, you come to my house during the poop hits the fan, you're going to be met with a shotgun right at the front door. So you got to decide how you're going to handle that. Number 12 is don't despair. A major disaster can turn your world upside down, leaving you feeling hopeless. It's important to remember, though, that no matter how desperate the situation is, all hope is not lost. So long as you are still breathing, planning, and doing what it takes to stay alive, you still have a chance. No matter how hopeless your situation might seem, don't despair. That's going to be easier said than done. If people don't have hope, if there's not a reason for living, I mean, definitely, I know that I have my reason and my purpose for living, my faith in God and you know, Jesus Christ. I know why I'm here. But there's going to be a lot of people who don't. A lot of people that don't want to. Let's say we do go full blown poop hits the fan. There's going to be a lot of people who don't want to live in a world like that, and so they'll do themselves in, unfortunately. And there's going to be a lot of depression, and there's not going to be any. First of all, there's going to be a lot of people on medicine when that medicine runs out. You know, actually, we haven't done an article on that in a long, long time. I don't even know if I've ever done one on the podcast. But you know, that's the thing that we don't really think about a lot. There's a lot of people on psychotropic medication, and it's going to. And some of that medication needs to be tapered off. But that's not going to happen. It's just going to be gone. They're going to take their last pill. There's not going to be a refill. And then there you go. So you're going to be dealing with a lot of people coming off of psychotropic medication and all that that deals with. And then you're going to be dealing with people that are depressed and do despair, and there's not going to be any help for them in that regard. So there you go. Something to consider there. And lastly, number 13 is keep your family in the dark, or don't keep your family in the dark. Wanting to spare your family the trauma of finding out that a horrible disaster has taken place is a noble cause, but it's also a dangerous one. In order for all of you to survive what comes next, you all need to be on the same page, fully understanding what it is that you are up against. Sit your family down and explain to them in a calm, level tone what has happened and what the next step is, rather than keeping them in the dark. Now, if you and your family, if your family are all prepping together, then, you know, you're not going to need to do so much of that. Maybe a sit down really quick and reminder of what to expect. But yeah, if your family is not prepping together, then definitely you're going to really have to hammer this home and help them to understand what is happening. And they still might not 100% believe you there. Did you notice, did you catch that where it said, here talked about the tone in a calm, level tone? You know, both articles brought that up, right? And how important that is. I know sometimes when people get excited, their voice tone goes up and they start talking fast maybe they even start barking out orders and stuff like that. So, you know, you got to try to keep all of that into consideration. All right, guys, again, like I said, that's over at urbansurvivalsite.com. You can come check it out. 13 things not to do when disaster strikes. You know, both of these articles had some comments, so you can come check those out over at the Prepper Website Podcast, or in the show notes, you can link to both of these great articles. I'm going to go ahead. You know, normally when we have our Thursday podcast, we go into our conflicted scenario. And so conflicted is a survival card game, and it has a scenario on it that, or a deck of cards has a scenario on it that causes you to really think about what you would do in a survival situation. And so this one's going to be a little bit different than most, but like always, you can, you know, kind of go with it from just listening to it and decide what you would do. If you're listening to this podcast with someone else, you can, or later on down in the day, you can bring up the scenario and kind of talk it over with them. Say, hey, what do you think? I think this. Or you can come over to edthatmatters.com and what you think you would do in the comments section. But like I said, this one's going to be a little bit different scenario. And so, you know, there might be a little bit more idea, you know, more people wanting to provide comments to this one because, you know, it's one of those things. It's not a specific scenario, but it's like, what do you think is important? So let me go ahead and read it here. I'm going to read it twice. The survival group you belong to has lots of children. What are three essential life skills that every child should know in today's current society? Then what are three other skills you would add to their education in a post-apocalyptic world? So, what are three essential life skills that every child should know in today's current society? And what are three other skills you would add to their education in a post-apocalyptic world? Guys, I love it when you leave comments over at Ed That Matters, because I love reading the different perspectives that people bring to these scenarios. And I believe in this one, you're going to have a whole bunch of different ideas as well. And so I can't wait to see what people are going to say on this one. What are three important life skills that you know, that young children need? And then in a post-apocalyptic world, what would they need? All right. Hey, I wanted to bring this up. I don't, you know, sometimes I start jumping right into the articles and I don't talk a little bit about what I was seeing on Twitter. And I definitely didn't bring this one up yesterday and I wanted to. You know, things are kind of heating up with Israel and Iran. You're not hearing a lot about it. I'm seeing a lot on Twitter, but I'm not seeing a lot in the mainstream media. Not that I really go looking for that, but, you know, I'll hit some of the mainstream media sites. But even on Twitter, it's not really coming from the big mainstream news sources, you know, in the United States. But you know, Iran and Israel are going after it, and they're lobbing missiles and stuff. And so you know that I record this podcast on Wednesday evening. If it's the Thursday podcast, I'm recording on Wednesday evening, and there was tweets that went out that Israel sent missiles and destroyed Syria's radar sites. And this has been happening, for 2 days now. Yesterday, which would have been Tuesday, if you're listening to this on Thursday, I'm talking about Tuesday. Tuesday our time, I guess. Israel opened up their bunkers, so they're expecting that there's going to be some issues, and they want their bunkers open so people can in northern Israel get to the bunkers as quickly as possible. And I know that one of the things that I was listening to, Amir Sarfati was saying that there's some unusual movement of Iranian troops in Syria. And so, Benjamin Netanyahu has always said that he's not going to allow Iran to set up a beachhead in Syria. And so he's made it perfectly clear. And this is one of those things that, we're not going to allow that. So they set up a beachhead and then they start bringing in supplies and it's easy to attack. And, there's like, we're not going to allow that. So again, there's one of those things where we need to very much so keep an eye out on the Middle East and especially what's going on in Israel and in that area, because that is that just sends off all kinds of fireworks for me as far as and not fireworks in a good way, but fireworks as pay attention to this. Maybe I should say signal flares, right? Pay attention to what is going on over here. That's very, very important. And so I don't know if I mentioned that. I know I did release the Weekly Watchman, which is the current events and prophecy teachers. They share what they're seeing in the media and usually alternative media, and they do a lot of analysis and stuff like that. So I did link to that, or actually I did put that out on Ed That Matters, and so I'll put that in the show notes if you're interested in going and checking that out. It's also going to be on Prepper website if you want to check that one out. So definitely there's always good stuff there. But keep an eye on the Middle East and what's going on over there. Air raid signals, Drudge Report tonight has air raid sirens in Israel. Iranian forces fire rockets. Khamenei warns Trump and oil spikes. And so there you go. Just definitely need to keep an eye on all of that. Well, everyone, that's it for episode 311 of the Prepper Website Podcast. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Head on over to theprepperwebsitepodcast.com. That way you never miss another episode of Sweet Prepper Goodness. Hey, and take a moment to connect with me. Have a ton of ways to connect on the show notes and over at theprepperwebsitepodcast.com. Love for you to come over to the Facebook group and also consider getting the ebook and coming over to the Prepper Website forums. And with that, choose to live a more self-reliant life. Choose not to be so dependent on the government grid or the grind. Until tomorrow, stay prepped and aware. Peace.